Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Isn't always easy. Family life comes with its joys, its struggles, and its stories. That's why we created Family Room, the show where real conversations about parenting and family happens. Join Faye Kemi every Saturday at 6 p.m. on Radio Africana, right here in Manchester, as we dive into heartfelt conversations, from raising confident children to keeping love alive at home to building stronger family bonds. Whether you're a parent, guardian, or simply part of a family, Family Room is your space to listen, share, and grow together. Family Room, because every family has a story worth telling, only on Radio Africana, Manchester.
Beautiful people, and welcome to the Family Room on Radio Africana UK, the space where we talk Parenting, where we talk children, we talk family life with an African art and a global voice. I'm your host, Faye Kemi, and I'm so glad you're spending your Saturday evening with us. It's that special season. Well, just 6 days to Christmas, and you can see me, you can see Radio Africana Christmas tree, you can see the balls, you can see me dressed, you know, all looking Christmas. The decorations are up, shopping lists are endless, longer, children are counting down. Yes, I remember before coming into the studio, I was just asking my girls, what is the list, what are we buying, where are we going to, and all that. And for many homes, screens are getting busier than ever because the children are on holiday. Whether you're wrapping gifts, cooking, or just resting after a long week. Yes, it was a long week, and I do like the fact that I took 2 days off work, you know, to refresh myself before today. Welcome home. The space, it's actually for you. Last week, remember, we talked about staying rooted. Remember, our guests actually taught the parents about children, you know, teaching our children language and culture. And today we are stepping into another reality, yes, of modern parenting, especially here, you know, especially now that, you know, everything has gone digital. And today's topic is digital childhood, navigating tech, social media, online safety. Remember, I shared something on my social media handle yesterday, and I'm sure a lot of people saw it, about the dad that said he wished he knew three things that he knew he wouldn't have lost his son. So we're talking about online safety and digital boundaries. And joining me tonight to unpack all this will be Steve Richards. I'm not going to say so much about him now until I bring him on board this night. I'm going to go on a quick break. Remember, follow Radio Africana on TikTok, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And of course, follow me, Faye Kemi Adeyemi Bangbushi, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. And on TikTok, I'm FK Mighty. Always like and share my content, and of course Radio Africana. I'll be right back as we go on a quick break. Please enjoy as we dance around the Christmas tree. Now, I'll be back.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old way.
Family Room with Fiyi Kemi.
Hi, welcome back. It's still the family room where we talk everything about parenting children and family. And remember, I said earlier that we're going to be talking about digital childhood, navigating tech, social media, online safety, and digital boundaries for our children. It's a big issue. And I'm not going to be doing that alone. I've got someone that has joined me live today on the phone, and I've got Steve. We call him Steve-O. So he's Steve Richards. He's a technical support analyst with experience in public relations, sales, and brand storytelling. So he understands everything. He's the host of the Liquid Lounge podcast, where he explores culture, personal growth, and real life conversations. Steve is passionate about meaningful dialogue and also using media to connect and ideas, and is also a digital safety advocate. He works closely with families navigating this digital world. And please join me to welcome Steve. Steve, you're welcome to the family room. Hi, Steve, are you there?
I'm excited to be here. Good evening, everyone.
Okay. All right. How was your week? I hope you're looking forward to Christmas and looking forward to the new year 2026. Have you written your goals for 2026?
Well, we try to revisit the goals every time. So it doesn't necessarily mean we have to wait to the beginning of the year. So yes, we have goals in place for the next year as well.
I like that. I don't know if you saw the video about that man that said there were three things that he would have, you know, he would, if he had known those three things. So I want to just say, so the question I'm going to ask you first, how different is childhood today compared to when we were growing up? I mean, back in the days, people that were growing up in the 70s and the 80s, but from the 90s. So how is it today compared to that time, especially when it comes to screens?
Well, I'm a 90s child, and what I see.
Yeah, I remember telling people I'm bringing a young man. Go ahead.
For the tail end of the Gen Z millennial time. So childhood today is completely different. And it's not just because of screens, but mainly because of how early and deeply technology enters a child's life. When we were younger, when we were growing up, screens were very limited and shared. You know, we had to watch TV at a specific time, maybe play games. Some of us that had games at that time in the living room. And once NEPA, as we call it here, taking the lights, our parents will just tell you, off that TV, and that's it. But today, screens are a constant. A child can wake up with a phone, they can learn on their tablet, they can play games online, you know, chat with friends, they sleep with the screen. So childhood these days happens inside and outside the digital world at the same time. So that's the difference between now and how we were when we were growing up.
I remember when my own generation, you know, the TV screen starts at 4 and by 8 o'clock, you know, and then you have meaningful things on TV. You know, it starts with storytelling, tales by moonlight, stories. You have a lot of different things you watch on TV. And start at 4 o'clock. TV actually start at 4. Not that it's 24 hours now. We can't say that technology should not change and the world should not evolve, you know, but so many parents say screens help me cope, especially after a long day. Some people are at home, but they are doing a lot of things and they don't want the kids to disturb them. I remember I actually trained my first child with screen for about a year. Thereafter, I realized that it was not actually, because I didn't really know. So a lot of parents out there don't really know. That's why I'm an advocate for, you know, when your child is between age 1 and 5, don't spoil them with the screen. So many parents say screens help me cope, especially after a long day or maybe to do my things, you know. So is screen time always bad, or is it more about how and when it is used?
Okay, for me, I'd say that screen itself is not the enemy, because that is not bad in itself. But I think the real issue is uncontrolled or unsupervised use of screens, because if you are being honest, screens can be very educative depending on the kind of content we consume. It can be relaxing, it can help one to be creative. But that the problem actually starts when that screen becomes like a babysitter. We've seen some parents, maybe they are doing something in the house, they will just give the child their phone. Yeah, you watch Cocomelon or something. And some reward their children for doing something by giving them their phone. Okay, take this. If you do your homework, you get to watch something for the rest of the day. So it is not about how long a person uses the screen. It is about the maybe the what's, the when, or the why's. So, for example, a child can be watching cartoons all day with no interaction. And the parent should ask, instead of how many hours, the parents should be asking themselves stuff like, why is my child, what is my child doing on the screen? What are they doing? Is it age appropriate? Is it really affecting their mood, their sleep, or their behavior? So we can see that the screen itself is not bad. It is how you use it, how often they use it, and what they use it to do. That's what the problem is here.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, let's move it a bit away from the children, maybe the toddlers, the children. How about the teenagers? What should parents be thinking about before gifting tech to their children, especially teenagers? You know, some of us have teenagers as children. Some have children that are from age 8 to about their teenage. So what should parents, especially this Christmas time, you know, it's just some days away. Some parents want to gift new phones, new tablets, new gaming consoles. So what should parents be thinking? What should be their thinking before getting those tech devices?
Okay, so Faker, being on the younger side and seeing a lot of younger kids with, you know, flashy phones, tabs, and all that. And I think before a parent should give their children any technological device, I think they need to ask themselves three questions. And I'll just narrow it down to three. The first one is, the parent needs to ask themselves, why am I buying this device? Is it for like learning or communication, or is it because everybody's kids has that same device? That's one thing. Another thing is my child ready for the responsibility? Because honestly, having a smartphone is not just a toy. It is an access to the internet. You know, you meet strangers, you consume content, and it can become something that is habitual. That's another one. And then the third one is that, what rules come with this gift? Parents fail to set clear boundaries when it comes to, you know, how children use their phones. So giving them a gift like that is a good gift, but it should not be a gift without supervision. It should be some sort of like a guided tool, controlled. That is what parents need to think about first before they give their children any kind of device.
Thank you very much. Before we go on that, on a quick break again, a short music break, remember we are live. I'm live on Instagram. We're live on Radio Africana on TikTok. And also remember to follow our social media handles. I'm Fakemiba Adeyemi Bangbose on Facebook, on Instagram, and also on YouTube. And follow me on TikTok, FK Mighty on TikTok. Remember, we are live on Radio Africana on radio, and then we are also live on TikTok. And what Steve just said, if I can just say the three things he mentioned, he says that if you want to buy those gadgets for your children, the first thing he says, why am I buying? So why are you buying? Is it for learning? Is it for communications? Or is it for competition? Oh, my child has iPhone 15 now. Number two, he says, is my child ready? So you have to look at the age. Is that child's age ready? And what rules comes with it? So there has to be rules. There has to be clear boundaries. You know, when, for instance, I've got two teenagers and I know when their phones shut down. We know when their phone shuts down. Recently, there are some apps that are on their phones, on their laptops. We have to take it down. That those things can't be on your. It will be distracting. You will be distracted from what you're doing, and you can't, because there are a lot of predators out there, Steve. So we are going to go on a quick break now, and when we come back, we'll come back to talk about those gaming apps, the gamings, the apps, and the online safety. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Family Room on Radio Africana. I'm still here and my name is Faye Kemi with Steve. I'm here live from the city of Manchester. And now let's talk about something many parents struggle with, gaming and online apps. I still have Steve with you. Steve, did you enjoy that song, Brenda Fassie? A lot of children don't know that song. Do you know it?
Not really, but I know my sisters, like my older sisters, used to listen to her quite a lot. So yes, I am.
Those were songs. Not the Shaka Bula that you people listen to now. Anyways, let's go straight into it. Parents hear game names, but don't always understand them. Can you explain the different types of games children are playing today and which one parents should be more cautious about? I know people talk about roadblocks. They talk about so many other ones, you know. What are those ones that parents should be cautious about?
Okay, so games today basically fall into like four different categories. I can narrow it down to four different categories. Okay. Firstly, they are like the casual games. Casual games, some can even be educational, you know, those puzzles, those learning apps, those word cross. Those are casual games. And then we have like console games, the ones with the console, like the FIFA, Mario, and those racing games. Those are also not really so, no much problems with those as well. Okay. But the last two is where problem actually comes in. First, like the online multiplayer games, just like the Roblox that you mentioned, Minecraft, Call of Duty, and the like. Yes. These ones require like extra caution because they allow voice or text, so people can communicate with each other online. So children can get to interact with strangers, and you know, these people can be older, use abusive language or aggressive languages or behavior.
And there are so many predators. Yes,
exactly. And then mobile games with in-app purchases, that is another problem. It's very risky because they are designed to encourage spending, and sometimes we've seen children take their parents' credit card and they use it to buy in-app purchases because they think they might not know it's real money they are spending. So parents should be most cautious with online multiplayer games and with games with those chat features or in-app purchases, because not because they are evil, but because they can, you know, produce some kind of like risk, like I already mentioned before. So
So Steve, what should parents look out for when a child says it's just a game? You know, I remember when one of my child wanted to do more on chit chat, I said no. I said Snapchat, you know. I said no because, you know, you see some people that are older and they are predators and they are on Snapchat and they tend to pretend. And then you see some children, they are younger, to pretend on Snapchat they are like teenagers and they start doing a lot of things. So what should a parent look out for when a child just says it's just a game?
So I have a younger brother that at some point in time used to game a lot. So when they say, oh, it's just a game, there are possible signs you can look out for that shows that that game is not just a game. It actually really affects them.
Okay.
Sometimes, maybe when they lose, maybe they are playing with their clan or something. I think they call it clan. Okay. And then maybe they lose on that mission. You can see the aggression in them.
Okay.
Or sometimes when you caution them or you take that phone away, they get aggressive. They get very upset.
Oh.
Because you are taking that device away from them. Okay. And some, because of this, they are also withdrawn from family activities. You don't see them maybe sit down together to meet, to chat. They are always on their phone. They are always playing that game and all that. And then they start to get sneaky because maybe they don't want you to know what they are doing with their text, their messaging. Okay. They start to get sneaky.
I remember.
And the biggest giveaway yet is they start asking you for money all the time because they have to buy some of the things they use in that game. So at every time you see them that they start needing money. Oh, please, can you give me money for this or for that? But the main reason is many of them just want to buy stuff from that game. So when people see these signs, you should know that they are not just playing a game. It has started becoming a lifestyle.
Wow. Wow. So it's that deep, Steve. Remember that. But when you mentioned things. So everyone that is listening out there, or you're watching us live on Radio Africana on TikTok, or you're watching me on my Instagram handle, he just mentioned three positive signs. The signs that to look out for: aggression, being upset when you take. But the major one you also said is when they withdrawn from, you know, family activities. You see the children not wanting to sit in the living room. When you see your child go to stay in their own room for 6 hours, for 10 hours, especially now that children are on holiday, they are home now. So every parent out there, you need to also, you know, check them up. They don't need to. Sometimes, you know, we parents, we are guilty. We're watching our own movies. We are watching our own news channels. We are watching this and that. We don't want them to disturb us. We don't want us to distract us. You know, come up with things so that to take them their mind off, you know, going to their own, you know, corner. And at the end of the day, they'll start doing something they are not meant to do. So what should parents now, how important are age ratings when it comes to gaming, Steve? And how do they really matter in real life?
Again, you know, when we watch movies, we see parental guidance, you see R-rated,
yeah,
13 rated, mm-hmm, and we know the importance of those ratings in, mm-hmm, movies. Mm-hmm. So if we narrow it down to games, mm-hmm, it is basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because these things are about, when the game is rated, they are about, you know, emotional readiness, exposure to violence or sexual content, mm-hmm, languages or themes. When these things are clearly stated out, a child may be very good at playing those games. But if a 13-year-old is playing a game that is meant for somebody that's over 18, mm-hmm, are they emotionally ready to handle the kind of things they would learn from meeting people online? So I don't think so. So if we let a child play games, mm, just because they can play the game without narrowing it down to rating, it's like saying that, well, since my child can handle it, let them go ahead with it. I think that's very, very wrong. So if there are age ratings in games, parents need to be very mindful of this. So
are there ratings? Are there ratings, Steve?
Yes, if you go to maybe your Play Store or your App Store and you want to download a game, you will, mm-hmm, see for kids. And then you will see strategy games, puzzle games, but there's no specific age. You don't get to see from age 18 and above. It is open for anybody to download. So even if they are put in categories, a 13-year-old can download a game where they can get to meet people online. Mm. So it's just open for anybody. There's no, you must be 18 or 15 to play this game. No, it's actually not stated on the app or on the Play Store where you download those games. So that is actually a very big problem.
Wow. So before we go on a break, I would like you to just tell us, what is the very first step a parent should take to understand what their child is playing? What should be the first step? Because let's say I'm novice now, I've got teenagers. Some other parents are there on TikTok, on Instagram, they are live, some are listening live on the radio now. What should be the first step a parent should take to understand what their child is playing?
A first step a parent should take is showing interest. You know, for somebody like me that grew up in Nigeria, mm-hmm, we have typical African parents. When they see you doing something, and then they shout, "Oh, all you know is stay doing your, stay on your phone all day. Just press phone. They don't really know what you're doing. They don't judge you immediately. So
I'm laughing.
I think coming from that era where I also experienced that, even though I was not a gamer, mm-hmm, parents need to show interest. Mm. Watch the child play. Just sit there and watch them play. Ask them questions. You, like you mentioned, you might be a novice. You don't need to be a gaming expert. You just need to be present. Mm. Just watch them play. Ask them questions. Oh, what kind of game is this? Oh, is it like this? Or is it like that? And the thing about children is, if they feel judged, they will hide.
Mm.
But if they feel like you are curious about what they are doing, they would definitely go on and on and on about that thing that they actually really like. So parents just need to show interest in what their child likes. For when they do that, it is very easy for the child to explain all they need to know about that game. And, you know, that's the first step they actually need to take, really, to understand what that child is playing.
Thank you so much, Steve, for, you know, this thing that you're giving us this evening. You're opening up our minds as parents. So the first step, every parent out there, whether you're single or you're married, the first step is to understand, is to show interest. Sit down 1 hour, 30 minutes, 15 minutes. Try to even listen, to watch, to see what they are doing. Tell them to teach you. Play it, see it with them. With that, you'll be able to navigate, and you can easily, you know, coach them and support them. Every child, irrespective of their age, needs support. I'm also a child. I need support. So we'll go on a quick break right now. I'll be back.
Into Family Room with Fayikemi on Radio Africana, Manchester.
Welcome back. As we wrap up, let's talk about solutions now, Steve. Parental controls, boundaries, and of course, it's Christmas time. We can talk about Christmas balance before that that father or that mother buys that gadget for that child that can cost the child's health, that can cost the child's mental well-being, or that child's, you know, moral development, you know, a harm, a serious one. So, Steve, many parents want to set limits but don't want to spy on their children. You know, because some children will feel, why are you spying? But it's not spying. It's healthy to also check. You know, like the video I shared on YouTube, on my TikTok handles and across my social media platform yesterday, you know, the dad says he wish he knew he has been, you know, like, not really, it didn't say spying, like checking up on the child. So what parental control, we're talking about solutions now, Steve. What parental control tools or apps can parents realistically use to manage screen time and online safety without breaking trust, so that my child does not feel, oh, I'm sleeping and my mom just started going through my phones? My children should know that I can ask them, give me your password and check through the phones. They should know.
Okay, so like you mentioned, parental controls should be introduced as like protection, not like you want to spy on the child. So these days, thankfully, we have built-in phone controls like Android Family Link or Apple Screen Time, and digital well-being and all that,
where you can set
the amount of time a child can spend on the phone. You can monitor the kind of things, the kind of content that your child is consuming on their phone. So these apps can help you to regulate the kind of things that they do. And then console controls. The console also has settings where you can turn off certain things. You can also set rules. Maybe you have a PlayStation at home or Nintendo or Xbox or something like that. Mm-hmm. You can set rules regarding those things. But the key here is that it is transparency. The key is transparency. A parent needs to sit their child down and say, look, this is not because I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. It is because I actually want to protect you. So I am not spying on you just because I think you are doing something bad. But no, I just want to protect you from, you know, bad people. So that parent has to be transparent with whatever control they are using, so that the child does not start to look for means to bypass any of those things, so that they understand that the parent is just looking out for them.
So that the child will be comfortable and not feel that, oh, my mom is spying on me, my dad is spying on me, I don't have control over my gadget, I'm old enough, especially the teenagers. So now, can you explain the difference? And to everyone that out there listening or watching live on TikTok, on Radio Africana, TikTok, Ando, or watching me live on Instagram, you can follow Steve, that I am Steve, at I am Steve Richards on Instagram. So if you want him to say more about this, because I really said it, you know, before the show started yesterday, I said, I'm bringing a young man that understands how these children are wired and their minds. So can you explain the difference between device controls, Wi-Fi controls and third-party apps, and which works best for busy families, you know, especially in the fast-paced world, the Western world, the UK, the Canada, US, you know, people that are in some part of Asia like China and the rest, you know, which works best for busy families?
Okay, so basically device controls they manage the time and the kind of content on a particular device. Mm-hmm. Say you give your child a phone, you can set whatever thing you want to set on that phone alone. Mm-hmm. So it does not, if you have five kids, you have to set for all five kids at the same time. That is what device control is. But for Wi-Fi controls, it manages internet access for the whole house. So you guys have your internet at home, you just go into the setting of your Wi-Fi, you block certain websites for your kids to be able to access. You block certain things that, you know, okay, this could be dangerous.
Yeah.
So that anytime my child tries to go to this website,
it will alert me. Like my own children, it alerts us. And they already know. They can't download TikTok by themselves. Yeah. Anything they want to they have to ask us for permission.
Exactly. So these things control that from the Wi-Fi. So basically for busy families, like you mentioned, if you have Wi-Fi controls and then basic device limits, you know, set those things in the app alongside your Wi-Fi control, this basically works best, because you know that even if when you are not there, your child cannot bypass any of those things, because you already set it in place. If they manage to bypass the one on their phone, you already set it on your home device as well, your internet at home. So they would not be able to access those certain apps or websites from opening. So that way, it works best, even if you are not there at home at that time.
So I know for the younger children, Steve, children, we can easily set gaming and screen times. So for me, how can parents set those gaming and screen times without constant arguments? We are talking about now, not having friction, especially when the children get older. Let's even talk about from the age of 8, 9, 10, and then their teenage, you know, when they begin to get older. For the younger one, of course, you can control it. But for those ones that are from the age of 10 till about 17, when they are in college, you can't really do anything. They will have to have everything. But of course, it is what you start teaching them from the beginning. For instance, my own children, we know about setting the timing. we know, we always check back to see how many times. There was a time before we removed YouTube and TikTok from their phones when they were a lot younger. So my husband just said, you were on YouTube for a particular time. My older daughter has YouTube, but my younger daughter does not have YouTube now. But then we can go to the app and check how many times she has spent on YouTube. You understand? So how can parents set this gaming without... So the question is, without constant argument, what is your advice to parents?
Okay, like I mentioned before, firstly, the parent has to be calm in doing that, because when you try to enforce, that's where the problem starts. Mm. So they need to set rules before that problem starts. First, they need to have clear schedule. I'm not a parent, but I think having clear schedules first, mm-hmm. when they can be on their phone for a considerable amount of time, and you know how they need to go about maybe doing their chores, their schoolwork, have clear schedules. Then consistent consequences. You tell your child you cannot use your phone after 8 o'clock. You meet your child using their phone by 8:15, and then you just be like, if you do it again, you will have problem. If you are not consistent, that is also a problem. Then also having screen free family time, when you know the family is gathered together, we are talking, we are laughing,
nobody is using phone. Even dad, even mom should not use it.
Exactly. Everybody sit and have discussion as a family, you know, get in touch with one another. But most importantly, the point is just be consistent. I mean, I was a kid once and I used to look for loopholes in what my parents would do. If they punish me today and don't punish me tomorrow, I know I can exploit that, because I know maybe if I just do it today, I might get away with it, because there was a bit of inconsistency. So if a parent is not consistent with consequences and these rules, it becomes a problem. So they need to have these limits in place and follow it consistently.
I just feel, Steve, you know, I was just laughing when to myself when you say you are not a parent, but you actually know so much. You don't need to be in a particular status before you understand what your responsibilities are. You understand? You are not a parent yet, but you know why we brought you on this show today is because you already understand how this thing and how their minds work. So what signs should parents watch out for? I know you've mentioned quite a lot. When gaming or screen use is becoming unhealthy or addictive. So what are the signs that parents should watch out for?
Okay, this one is, I would say, firstly, they would not have interest in non-screen activities. Anything that is not on screen will become a problem. Even reading a book, they would say, I prefer reading like an ebook or a PDF version. Why do you have to get me a paperback? They cannot take interest in non-screen activities. And then sleep problems, because many of them will spend their time where they should nap or sleep on their phone. So they start to have sleep problems. And then mood swings is another common one. The game regulates their emotions. If you play a particular type of game where you know, go on missions like I mentioned, and then you lose, you have to start from the scratch, they get angry, it regulates their emotion, and then they tend to isolate themselves, because when they play these games, they always do not want to be disturbed. So that becomes the habit. So isolation. And then the biggest of them all, we get to, sometimes these things affect their performances at school, because they spend lots of their time, instead of reading or learning, playing games, talking about games. So when you look at these things, lots of interest in non-screen activities, sleep problems, mood swings, being isolated, and declining school performances. I think these are signs that these things are controlling their emotions, and the parents need to step in at that time. So
thank you so much. And finally, if you could give a parent just one piece of advice about raising children in a digital world, what will it be?
Okay, for me, I'd say that parents should not try to raise screen-free children. Don't try to raise screen-free children. Mm-hmm. Instead, raise screen-smart children, because honestly, technology is here to stay, whether we like it or not. It is here to stay, and it will continue to advance. So don't shy away from helping your children understand how to make it work, because at the end of the day, parental presence actually matters as well. So they need to stay involved, they need to stay curious, and stay connected with their child as well. So raise screen smart children. That's my advice to
parents. I would say from the beginning of this conversation today, that one is just the major one that I will take home. That is raise screen smart children. We'll go on a short break, and then Steve, still stay with us. We're going to come back after this music break. Everyone, don't go away. Remember to follow Radio Africana on TikTok, on Instagram, and Facebook. Follow me, Feikemi Adeyemi Bangbushe, on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, and of course, FK Mighty on TikTok. I'll be right back after this music break. Don't go away.
Family Room with Fiyi Kemi.
Welcome back. It's still the Family Room on Radio Africana. And we've talked so much about digital childhood, navigating tech, you know, social media, online safety. We've talked about digital boundaries. And then, of course, I have Steve Richards. You can follow him on Instagram at I am Steve Richard, and of course you can also follow him on Twitter. Steve has said so much. We're going to post this on our YouTube channel, on Radio Africana, and of course on my YouTube channel. Please make sure you go back to it and share, like, and share with people. Subscribe to our channel, because we talk so many things about family, about parenting, and of course about children, you know, because that is the only thing that we can use to educate and also inform ourselves, so that we can have a better society and a better world. Because so many things are happening. So Steve has mentioned so many things. He has said that before we buy those tech devices, the tablets, the phones, the type of phones you buy for your children, the type of games, know the reason. Why are you buying those things? He said that you also ask yourself that question: is my child ready? And then what rules come? So you need to say, he has said, you don't need to force them, you don't need to spy on them, but you just need to collaborate with them, sit them down, let them understand the boundaries, let them understand. You just need to keep speaking. And he also mentioned about those signs that you should always look out for when they are playing a particular games, or they are on the particular app and doing so many things, maybe on roadblocks and the likes. If they are aggressive, they are upset about something, or they feel withdrawn, they are always in their room on their phones for 6 hours. You need to find a way of, you know. And he has mentioned some things very significant that we've mentioned for the past 4 weeks now on Family Room, you know, that parenting, that timing, that family time where nobody's using phones, nobody's take away the screens. Go into the park if you've got a park around you. Now, for people that are living in the climb where it's winter now, you might not want to go into the park. Take a walk. You know, sit down together in your living room and enjoy yourselves. So, Steve, thank you so much. One last word. I know you said raise screen smart children. What's your last word for all parents and all children listening out there?
Okay, continue to stay in touch with your kids. It's very important that you take interest in them, try to be their friend as well as their parents, and then they will definitely welcome you into their own world. And kids too, they should always be willing to listen to their parents, because they also want the best for them. Sometimes we can clash heads from time to time because our interests do not always align, but it's all for the same goal. So when parents and kids work together, definitely their relationship will continue to grow stronger.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you. Such an important and timely conversation. And to our listeners out there, as we count down to Christmas, let's remember this. Technology should support family life, not replace connection. So this season, put the phone down sometimes, the presents, laugh together, eat together, because the memories children carry don't live on screen. They live in moments. Thank you for joining me on The Family Room on Radio Africana. I am Faye Kemi, wishing you peace, warmth, and meaningful family moment as Christmas approaches. Let's take it away with a song, Family First, Whitney Houston. Bye, everyone. Happy Christmas in advance.
From all of us at Radio Africana,
wishing you a healthy and happy holiday season.
Let's go!
Merry Christmas!
We are wishing you a Merry Christmas.
They'll never leave you alone, no.
When your friends bring you down
and they drag you through the dirt,
and when nobody's around,
they'll carry you through the hurt. Just remember that family comes
first. You come around.
Where you come around.
When no one is.
Just remember.